Remain standing for our gospel lesson, which comes from Matthew chapter 1, verses 21 through 23. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. On the first Saturday of December, back there, December 7th, if you can remember it, our family had already had a full weekend of activities by the time we got to lunchtime on Saturday. Eddie and Saren headed off to Charlotte for a choir rehearsal that Saren had first thing on Saturday morning, and I headed over to Concord first for a UMW Christmas circle gathering, which I had to leave early from to get to another prayer meeting, and then we all ended up at Saren's piano studio Christmas gathering at 12:30. I walked in on time at 12:30. Everybody else was already there and was working on Christmas scavenger hunts and festive activities. I was a little harried and disheveled coming from so many different things, and so I plopped down in my seat at the last chair at the table where Eddie and Saren were sitting. There were some other people sitting at the table, and everyone was busy with the Christmas activities when I arrived, except one little person sitting next to me. It was a little girl. I think she was about 14 months old. She was dressed in a Christmas dress and leggings and these cute little furry boots. She was sitting in her stroller. She was as happy as can be. And so she and I struck up a little conversation. Yeah, you're right. She really couldn't carry on a conversation, but somehow she and I spoke the same language. And this little girl was an expert at wrinkling up her nose and smiling in such a way that I was hooked. Throughout our time at the piano party, I learned through conversation and overhearing other conversations at the table that the woman sitting next to this little girl, the one who was tending to her, was her grandmother. The little girl's name is Scarlett, and she and her two siblings are in the care of her grandmother because of some not so good situations with her parents. I could tell, though, she was in good hands with her grandmother, even though her grandmother had her hands full with these three kids. I also know that my conversations with Scarlett at the piano party were a gift from God. God, in the frantic nature of my life, and in the mess of Scarlett's life, had come to bring each of us a little joy with the smiles and laughter and baby conversation we shared that day. For me, it was like God put skin on in the form of a baby girl named Scarlett. During Advent and Christmas, we hear the word Emmanuel. We sing, O come, Emmanuel, as we prepare for Christmas. In our scripture today, Matthew echoes the words of the prophet Isaiah. Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel. And Matthew helps us out and adds these words, which means God is with us. Emmanuel, God is with us. The birth of Jesus brought God to be with us in the flesh. John 1 reads, and the word became flesh and dwelt, lived among us. God became incarnate. God became tangible. As Mandy talked about on Christmas Eve, God became accessible. And as a pastor, a friend of mine says, God put skin on. God put skin on. God in Jesus was born of a woman, and just that process is messy enough. God lived in this skin, in this body that we have. God came to live this messy, difficult, crazy life that we lead. Jesus knew what it was like to feel aches and pains and to be sick and to experience the loss of loved ones. Jesus knew what it was like to feel emotions, to be happy and sad and glad and mad and all of the other nuanced emotions that we feel. God and Jesus knew that family dynamics are complicated and that relationships between us people, well, they aren't straightforward. They aren't always easy. God knows firsthand the messiness of this human life because God decided to burst in on the scene and live it with us. God put skin on. I don't know about you, but I have needed an extra dose of God with skin on this year. It's been a hard year. It's been an extremely busy December. That first Saturday was just a taste. I've been grieving this year, grieving my mother-in-law. This is the first year we are having Christmas without her. Grieving my dad, and this is the sixth year that we're celebrating Christmas without him. Grieving along with our church family at the loss of church members and other family members. And grieving the loss of some of those foundational things that I thought were always going to be certainties. Life has been messy, I think for you too. There have been fires to put out, metaphorically, cars to be fixed, houses to be fixed, shopping to be done, plans to be made, and oh yeah, there's a little bit of work that has to be taken care of as well. I don't know about you, but I have struggled this year, and I have needed every glimpse of the incarnation that God has sent, every example possible of God with skin on. Part of the miracle of Christmas is that God would come and be a part of this messy life, that God would show up with skin on in the midst of our daily lives to show us God's grace and light right in the middle of the nitty-gritty reality of it all. I want you to think about your December. In fact, on this last Sunday of the year, think about 2019. Where are the places that God showed up? Where have you seen God with skin on? The skin in my throat is not cooperating, so. When I started listing examples, I could hardly stop when I got started. So here are some of the best ones, just from the last week or so, of where I've seen God with skin on. I saw God with skin on last Sunday as we celebrated the Jingle Jam. There was all kinds of fun that we had, but there was one special thing that stood out to me. Many of you know Roxy, which is John and Susan's granddaughter. She's usually in the nursery during worship, but she loves to come in here and see the big sanctuary. And last Sunday when we had the whole chancel cleared off, before the service, she came up and gave a whole little show. She was singing and dancing. And then when Lily and Lori and Saren and I got up to do the first number and lead all of you in dancing, she got right up there with us. She was dancing her heart out, singing along. So much joy, so much unencumbered freedom from a little child. After the service, God walked right up to me and handed me a gift in the form of Owen and Tristan. They're two brothers, they're in elementary school. And they had made handmade gifts that they passed out to the staff and to friends. They had a whole box full. What a wonderful thing. Our prison ministry packing seemed extra incarnational this year. Nancy and Alan shared with us that on Saturday, the day before we did the big pack, when they were doing the preliminary pack, some parents of a young man who is incarcerated and who had received a bag in the past came to help. The young man had been so touched by this gift he received sometime in the past that he shared with his parents what had happened. And his parents were so touched by the gift that their son had received that they reached out to us here at Forest Hill and asked how they could help. And so they came on Saturday to help get ready for the big pack. When they were here, they shared about stories that they had heard from their son, about how much the inmates look forward to receiving the bags of Christmas cheer and how they trade around different things so that they all can get lots of their favorites. The fact that the bags really do bring Christmas joy and help the men and women who are in jail not feel forgotten, so that they know that someone is thinking of them at Christmas. On Sunday, when we gathered and we got in our four lines going in all directions to pack 300 to 400 bags, the sheriff, our own sheriff, Van Shaw, and his wife joined us this year for the first time. And Van shared with us again how helpful these bags of cheer are in helping those in jail not feel forgotten. And he also shared it's not just helpful for the inmates, but it's helpful for the staff as well. Because the inmates are happy, that makes the staff's job easier, and the staff gets some goodies as well. Somehow, with all these stories being shared around and these folks that were with us, it felt a little extra like we were God putting skin on as we packed those bags and as we watched the truck drive off to the jail. On Christmas Eve, God was all over the place with skin on. Let me tell you, life was messy around here. I know it probably was for you too. And God was right here in the midst of it all. Here's a few ways I saw it. At communion at the 5 o'clock service, Chandler and I were down front serving here, and the first family that came up to us, I didn't know them. And you know, so I was a little like, are they gonna know what to do here? You know, I wasn't sure, because you know, when you come to communion and you're the first one, you usually need an example. And sure enough, these little guys, it was two young boys, and I think their grandparents, they had no idea what to do. So we served the first little guy, and I gave him the bread, and he popped it right in his mouth. We kind of all stood there like, well, what are we gonna do now, you know? So I said, I'm gonna give you another piece of bread, and this time you dip it in the cup that Chandler has here. That is the blood of Christ. And so he took the bread and he just barely dipped it in, and then he licked it, and then he made a face kind of like, and then just stood there. 1,000 things were going through my head. What is he gonna do with the bread? What am I gonna do with the bread? We gotta get this line moving. He's the very first person. So I grabbed the bread, stuck it in my mouth, and everybody was happy. You never can get enough Jesus, so you know. It was truly God's flesh in the mess of life. After the service, I went down to Kerr Street where we had our normal Tuesday night meal, and we had it on Christmas Eve. We had a really small group. In fact, there were more volunteers than there were guests to eat that night. So we decided we'll serve our plates and we'll go ahead and sit down and just eat all together. The three girls, three sisters that live next door, they're there almost every Tuesday night, and they were there. So we enjoyed being with them. And then there was another gentleman who was there. And let me tell you, he was as drunk as a skunk. We all started taking our place at the tables, and Doug called, you know, welcomed everyone and told a story as he often does. And then he asked me to pray over the meal as he often does. And I got ready to start. And this gentleman, who was a bit intoxicated, thought he had been asked to pray. And so he launched in and we went with it. And it was sort of a prayer, a sermon, a thanking God for his blessings and thanking us for blessing him. And it was kind of all rolled into one, and it kind of went on and on. And I did start thinking in a sober state he might give me and Mandy a run for our money, because he had a lot of good theology in there, a lot of biblical truths were coming out of his mouth. Ooh, but it kind of went on and on. And so after a few suggestions, like, you know, Doug finally had to cut him off. This long, beautiful prayer had to come to an end. And he didn't mind. Somehow he didn't mind. And we all sat down and began to eat and share and listen to more of his incoherent tales. It was messy. And it was beautiful. And God was right there with us. Emmanuel. God showed up in the second service at 9 o'clock with skin on too. I looked out at this beautiful congregation. It was just a lovely sight here in the sanctuary. So many familiar faces, and there were family members and people I knew and people I didn't. And then I spotted one really familiar face. It was Scott Butts, was there in the congregation. He was so familiar because he had already been here at 5 o'clock. In fact, there was a whole row of Butts family. I didn't even plan that, it just came out. But anyway, but Scott was back. He was back. And so I thought, what is Scott doing here? You know, he already came. But then I noticed that Camber was next to him. And I thought, you know, in that whole family lineup, I didn't see Camber at the first service. Maybe she just got in town. And sure enough, in between the first service and the second service, Camber had arrived in town. And so for those of you who don't know, Scott has gotten a job in Concord, and he's been living here and working here and worshiping with us. But Camber and Caleb and Lauren are still back in Tennessee, working and going to school there. And so they'll join, the plan is for them to join Scott next summer. So as I looked out at that beautiful congregation, part of the beauty was the light and joy that was coming out of Scott's face. He was holding Camber's hand and his eyes closed, just singing with so much joy. And then I have to tell you, he came up for communion and he threw us off a little bit because out loud, with much excitement, he said, "I've never taken communion twice in one night." It was truly God. With skin on. I have one last Emmanuel incarnation story to share. It was at the end of the night. Most everyone was gone. Just a couple of us were left tidying up the sanctuary. And one of our church members told me a story of something that had happened earlier in the evening. Right before he left his house to come to church, he had answered the phone. It turned out that the person had dialed the wrong number, or maybe they didn't have the right number, but they got a Forest Hill church member on the line. This woman on the phone was very upset. She was crying, and so our church member took some time to talk with her. The woman told him that she was trying to get a hold of her brother. They had been estranged, and she wanted to reconcile with him for Christmas. The church member primarily listened and let her talk through the whole situation. He offered some encouragement, some moral support. She was not totally consoled by the time they finished their conversation, but the woman did say to our church member before they hung up, "I sure wish you were a part of my family." And I believe for that moment and beyond, that we are part of her family. He took the time to talk, to console someone in the midst of her pain and brokenness. And when he got off the phone, he even called the local police where she was so that they could check on her to be sure she wasn't suicidal. That's God with skin on. The beauty of Emmanuel, the reality of the incarnation, is that God doesn't have to have skin on just at Christmas. God is here with us in the present, in the messiness of life in every season. We can be God with skin on for someone else, sometimes when we're not even planning on it. And we can experience Emmanuel through others, sometimes in the most unlikely of people. As we carry the reality of Jesus' incarnation with us throughout the year, let us be people who look for God with skin on everywhere we go, and who will be God with skin on whenever we can. Emmanuel, God is with us. Amen.